Okay, great. This is the fourth of this series, the Professional Learning Community Calls. We do these every 2 weeks. The next one we're going to have will be on September 11th because we've got Labor Day.
Debbie Weason. Thanks, Debbie.
Debbie, where are you from?
Boston.
Okay, great. We've got someone from Alaska, Boston, Florida, and we're going to be talking to Sarah from Los Angeles about her program in Maryland. So we've got a good representation. We do these every 2 weeks. Our next one's going to be on the 11th, though, because of the annual meeting on the 18th, and then we'll have one on the 25th. So this series, what we're doing is we're talking to some of our best grantees, and we're going around the country to see what everyone does and how they set up their program. Okay, I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Who is this?
This is Gajendra Singh from EPA.
Okay, great. We go around the country in this series talking to different grantees about their program. Someone just joined?
Yes, Steve Schaefer, Arkansas Construction Education Foundation.
Okay. Construction Foundation. And this week we're going to be talking to LA Conservation Corps. But before we do that, we always have Lo give us the most recent news, anything from Washington or our current events. Lo, do you want to give us a rundown of what's up?
Well, sure. The thing that we've been working on mostly over the past couple of weeks is getting ready for the grantee meeting. Joe Bruss, our project officer at EPA headquarters, is working with me to set up the agenda for Wednesday evening. Joe is going to have several different departments from EPA give an overview of the activities that they're doing. And so far we have the Office of Emergency Management, Office of Lead, Office of Water, Office of Superfund Remediation, and the Center for Program Analysis. All of those departments have confirmed. The Office of Underground Storage Tanks, that one is tentative. And then we also have someone coming in from the Department of the Interior to talk about the 21st Century Conservation Service Corps. And then, of course, Sharon Beard from NIHS, who's been coming to this meeting for several years. So that's what we've been working on for the most part. The hotel's registration or reservation deadline was last Friday. We can still get last-minute registrations into the meeting, and we can probably still get last-minute reservations into the hotel. However, they won't get the group rate. They will be given the regular rate. But still, if you want to come to the meeting, we can probably still get you into the hotel, and it's definitely not a problem to come to the meeting. That's about all I have, Mike.
Okay. And anyone out there, or if you have someone that you want to go to the meeting, the best thing to do would be to call Glo up so she could email whatever information they need or expedite whatever they need to do. Glo, do you want to give your phone number?
Yeah, my phone number is 563-441-4081, and we can help you work with the hotel.
Okay. And this is a great meeting. It's we're going to have about 8 sessions. We're going to have plenaries. We're going to have the EPA people. All of the regional coordinators are going to be there. The objective of this meeting is to help grantees do a better job with their grants. Just about everyone's going to be there. We break up into regions so that they'll have time to spend with their regional coordinator. We'll also have people from EPA that are talking about allowable costs and disallowable costs. The objective is to allow the communities to do a better job with the funds that they have. For PLC members who are not yet grantees and are planning on submitting, We're allowed to also invite them to the conference if they're serious about developing a program. And there we break out into the smaller sessions and we talk about the nuts and bolts of running a program, how to make it efficient, and all of the issues that all the grantees have. We try to have the more experienced grantees and the regional coordinators act as mentors to those that are newer and have questions, and we just kind of hammer out all the issues that we all have. Similar to what we do on these professional learning community calls. So what we're doing in this cycle is we're talking to those grantees who have been around for a while, have demonstrated that they can not only do a good job, but they can also show performance. And the LA Conservation Corps is one of those programs. Sarah is going to talk to us about her program, the curriculum, and about the background and how they got started and what they're partnering. The LA Conservation Corps first was granted federal funds in 2005. They re-upped in 2007 and then 2009. And then they also got a stimulus grant. That was a gift that in 2009 several people got. Actually, Art also got one. He was on last week talking about his program. LA Conservation Corps got one, $500,000 stimulus grant to expand their program. And then they re-upped and was granted an award in 2012. Now, the thing about these awards is they're all competitive, and the you have to demonstrate that you've got the one of the best 12 or so programs in the country in your proposal to be re-upped, to be refunded. So there are programs such as ARCS and the LA Conservation Corps who, because you have had a grant in the past, does not give you any heads up. In fact, it may be a disadvantage on the next round. You really have to prove that you have a program that is worthy of funding and above the rest. If there are other more deserving programs or more comprehensive programs out there, they'll get the nod. So it's really a tribute to these grantees who are able to reach and get awards. It's particularly harder for them, I believe, than it would be for perhaps a new grantee to break in. So with that, I'm going to turn this over to Sarah. And Sarah's soft-spoken, so we're going to have to listen carefully. And, Sarah, you're going to have to shout into this phone and give us a little background on your program, and then we can ask you some questions we might have about your program. So with that, I'll turn it over to you, Sarah.
Okay. So our overview of our program prepares our participants with skills needed to join the workforce at an entry-level position in fields such as hazardous waste management, environmental cleanup, asbestos and lead abatement, and industrial services. So our qualifications to be able to take our training is to complete an application. Our participants must be between the ages of 18 to 24. They have to be willing to work outside and in all type of weather, pass a medical test for using respiratory equipment. Our participants must be a high school graduate or have a GED, and our participants must pass a drug screen test. So our training consists of the following. Our trainees will be certified in the following: hazardous waste worker, asbestos abatement, lead abatement, confined space, first aid CPR, refinery safety overview, Cal OSH safety standard, wastewater treatment awareness, specialized reducing exposure awareness, stormwater management, landfill remediation capping awareness, underground storage tank leak prevention. So our trainees are, our participants will be trained and certified. We have key partners who we work with that also sit on our advisory board. So the following will be the City of Los Angeles Brownfield Program, Pacoima Beautiful, Worksource California, the Los Angeles County Department of Public Services, the Los Angeles Community Development Department, Los Angeles Housing Department, Los Angeles Trade Technical College, the Northeast San Fernando Valley Worksource Center. So these key partners, they as well sit out on our advisory board, and they help refer people to our program. So once so our training is about 7 weeks long. And within those 7 weeks, they'll be trained in everything that I just listed. The first week of the training is a life skills week. So this life skills week is 40 hours that they must complete, and it ranges from money management workshops. We help participants with budget plans. We give them anger management workshops. We show them environmental movies. We help them identify career goals, long-term, short-term goals. We have a conflict resolution workshop. We help them set up valid emails. We also give them, have mock interviews, and these mock interviews are run by our advisory board. We help them with resumes. So once our participants are they completed the training, we give them job leads. So our potential jobs with these certs that we are HAZWOPR technician, lead inspector technician, lead remediation supervisor, and asbestos worker. The unions who host these trainings are the Joint Apprentice 5 Union and the Heat and Frost Asbestos Union. Our potential employer, our employers that we normally refer to that accept our certs are PV Jobs, IQ Personnel Staffing, Aerotech Environmental Staffing, all oil refineries, as well as the Heat and Frost Union, which is Local 5. After they complete the program, we follow up with them for a full 4 year. So every month, we go ahead and call the participants and help them. If they still haven't found a job, we still help them. We still give them job leads. If they have found a job, we just call in every month just to make sure that they're still working. If, for example, the participant doesn't want to go back to work, we help them if they want to enroll in a trade school. Or a two-year community college, we help them with that as well if they still want to pursue their education. So we follow up with them for a full year. Every month we go ahead and give them a call. We have a ratio. Every training, we try to recruit about 25. Participants, out of the 25, were able to place 20 to 21 in employment. Do you guys have any questions so far?
That's an extensive, very extensive curriculum that you have. How many cycles do you do in a year?
We normally do two. So we just had one earlier this year, and actually next week on the 27th, the 26th of August, we'll be starting our second training.
So you do one in the fall, and then do you do one in early January? Would that be the other one?
Yes, we completed, I believe it was April, late mid-April is when we completed our last one. It started like late February.
And that probably is a good time because it coincides with the hiring cycles in the summer, is that it?
Yes. And then one of our employers who we partner with, IQ, the really good about our partnership with them is they let us know exactly what is needed for employment. So what exactly employers are looking for, what exactly, for example, if they need a tool card or they need a certain certificate, they let us know so we're able to help these participants obtain that special needed certificate or card that they need. Our advisory board meets 6 times a year, once every other month. So we meet about 6 times a year.
Who do you have on your advisory board? Are those employers or are they?
There's a few employers. For example, we have IQ who sits IQ Personnel Environmental Staffing who sits on our advisory board. And then we have, for example, the Workforce California, our Los Angeles Trade Technical College, Northeast San Fernando Valley Workforce, LA Housing Department, Los Angeles Community Development Department, Los Angeles Community Department of Public Services, the City of Los Angeles Brownsville Program. And then for example, those participants who were punctual, who were here every day at the training, who were really involved, we highly recommend those to our partner employers.
Do you have a night where the employers come in, kind of interview night or something like that?
So what we've had in the past is after they complete the 7-week training, we have a graduation for them. So we hold a graduation ceremony where they can go ahead and invite their family members. We award them with their certificates. And on that day, we'll have our partner employers as well as other work sources come, and we'll have like a mini little job fair for them so they can exchange information and start a networking.
Very good. It sounds like a really intensive program, and it sounds like, now do you tie this into some other, you're a part of the LA Conservation Corps, so you've got a much bigger organization, don't you? And then this is kind of an add-on to that organization, is that correct?
Yes.
Or
it's part of our vocational department.
Okay, so this is your particular grant is one where, and we've got different types of grants. We've got some that stand alone, and then we've got some that are parts like Oregon Tradeswoman, even Cypress Mandela. They are construction trades, but then they add this on as another unit that they go through construction trades and then they add this. But yours really isn't that, is it, where you're giving them construction trades? This is pretty much a standalone program as part of the Conservation Corps. Would that be correct to say that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting as we look at the different programs. Your model of your program is the city of Tacoma, where you have a standalone program. It's strictly an environmental program, and people go into it for the environmental education. There are grantees out there, talking to them in other sessions, that have a construction trades program, and they're teaching them basically construction trades, and then they take some of their students, subset of larger construction trades group, and then they send them through the environmental training. So these are just two different approaches that are used across the country. You've got a strong union affiliation, it sounds like, though, too, don't you?
Yes,
you mentioned
we've had
the
partnership for many years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is there a path to journeyman or a pre-apprentice program or anything like that with them? Or how do they work with you?
They're actually the host of our training. So our the Joint Apprentice 5 Union, they actually they host our training, and as well as hosting our training, they go ahead and offer employment to our participants.
Oh, excellent. So they now the unions provide training. Do they provide it in lead and asbestos? Are those primarily the two areas?
Yes.
Good. Interesting. There have been a few grantees who have worked very closely with organized labor and use their training facilities, and actually and often the advantage to that is you're leveraging all of their facilities in terms of fit up tests and that type of thing. Tell us a little bit about your the people that you're getting into the program and how you do that. Now, in your case, it's not, you've had different grants and they've focused on different parts of the Los Angeles area. It's a very large area.
Right.
This particular cycle, you're doing what, San Fernando Valley? Is that how you focus it? How do you handle all of Los Angeles? So is it, are you focusing in one particular area?
Right. Okay, so this current training session that we're recruiting for, we do focus within the San Fernando Valley, but we do open up our training to anybody else within the Los Angeles area. So the way we recruit our participants is through the San Fernando Valley Worksource Center. So they refer a lot of our participants. They referred a lot of our participants last training session and this current one coming up. But it's our training is really we do advertise it, but a lot of it's word of mouth. So let's say a participant who took our training 3 years ago, they'll let a cousin know or a friend know or somebody. So a lot of times on our application, we do have a section to let us know who were they referred by or how did they hear about us. And a lot of times it's word of mouth, but the majority at this point is coming from San Fernando Worksource area, but we do open up our training to anybody else who wants to take it. Now, again, the ages are only between 18 to 24. So if they're over 24, we will make exceptions at times, but Denise is pretty strict about keeping the age, and they have to have a high school diploma. So we do have our requirements are not really that strict. They are open. But we do have the age limit, so the age has to be met, and the diploma.
And part of that age is also has to do with the Workforce Investment Board. I expect that they qualify for certain benefits.
Yes.
One interesting thing of going through the Workforce Investment Boards, and again, as we go through so far the four programs we've gone through, City of Tacoma relied very heavily on the Workforce Investment Board, and what they did is actually screened every participant that went through to see if they were WEA qualified. And if they were qualified, met certain criteria, they were able to leverage their resources quite a bit. They were boots, instructional materials, quite a few additional benefits that they might normally get. Now, not everyone was certified by the board, so they weren't able to get it, but whenever they could get those extra benefits from the Workforce Investment Board, they did. And they found that that was very helpful. Are you doing similar type of thing there?
Okay. I'm not sure if I'm going to hit it on point, but the type of benefits we do offer while they're in the training program is we'll give them a bus pass to get to our site or a stipend for gas.
Okay.
So we offer those. It's not a lot, but it still helps the participants a lot.
And this is a day program, so they're not able to work. It's not like a night program, is it? It's a daytime program for 7 weeks.
Yes, it's a daytime. Our program hours are normally from our training are normally from 7 to 3:30.
And so there, it's quite a sacrifice on their part too, in terms of they're not. It's difficult for them to get part-time jobs outside of this. So I guess that bus pass is very helpful.
Yes, it is.
They're not required to have a license.
No, we don't require a license. However, we do need proof of an ID.
Sarah, this is Samantha from Maryland, and I'm just curious about your statistics in terms of outcomes. You follow the participants for a full year. What percentage of the participants are employed at the end of 12 months after completing the program?
Okay. So after completing the program, we do follow up with them for a full year. Our ratio, again, is 25. So we open up the program to 25 participants. Out of the 25, our goal is to place by the end of the year 20 to 21 participants in employment. Now, it can be either employment or they can still go back to school if they still want to further their education. So our goal is 20 to 21, and we most of the time meet it. We meet our goal.
Thank you.
And that's a combination of your employers. And I noticed when you mentioned your partners, you've got some manpower companies on there. You Aero, and you've got you work very closely with that CI, it's IQ. It sounds like you've established some partners that are bonded into your program that are also looking for the types of people that you're training. When you mention those names, there are several grantees who are closely connected to Aero because they are a big user or employer of some of the people from our programs. Are you finding that they are picking up a lot of your graduates?
Yes. The majority of our graduates actually join IQ personnel, but Aerotech still employs a good amount of our participants who took the training.
We find that in these difficult times economically, that some of the manpower companies and remediation companies are really worth cultivating because they're key employers. And once they get into your program, they're very eager to hire additional people because the graduates perform so well. And they come back and they want to see who's graduating in the next class. And
right.
In your case, when they're on your advisory board, it's even better because you've got a kind of a feedback loop between your curriculum and their needs. So if they find that they need people, and I notice you've got refinery operations, which is a big thing in the LA area, you can incorporate it into your curriculum to make them even more valuable. And you've got the Cal OSHA, which, again, you're giving them certifications that are worth several dollars, so it's quite a benefit to the employers.
Yes. So, for example, this past training session that we had earlier this year, we were able to we still haven't followed up with, for this coming month, we still haven't followed up with our participants. So we're in the process of following up with them. But last month when I last followed up with them, we had about 9 participants going to an interview and doing the hire and going through the hiring process for IQ personnel. So this month we're yet to find out how many really did get hired. We had about 9 to 10 participants in the process of hire for IQ environmental staffing.
Wow. Good. Any questions of Sarah? We try to keep these calls down to 30 minutes, so it's just doesn't take a lot of time out of our day.
Right.
Anything anyone like to comment on? Okay. Sarah, it's been really informative. We're going to write these notes up and send them out to everybody, and it's interesting that you making it. One thing I noticed is you've got a really extensive program, and the second thing is that you're making really good use of your employers and getting them into your program in terms of it's. And I've seen the same thing in some other programs, such as Durham. Does the same thing. They have employers who are really active. They've not only bonded with the program, it's almost like they're employees of the program. They're working
right.
in it, and they've kind of identified with it. And when they take ownership like that, they're hiring your people, and it's great. It's good for you, and it's good for them. You've got a great program, and keep up the good work. If anyone has any questions, can they get in touch with you?
Yes.
Is it best
to
contact you?
I can give you her office number, so if you guys want to write it down.
Okay.
Okay, it's 562-949-0142. Again, it's 562.
I'll put those in the post-session notes.
Sorry. 562-949-0142, and she's at extension 309.
Okay. I'll put Denise's contact information in the post-session notes, which I'll send out in a couple of days.
Okay.
And, again, thank you for the rundown of your program, and we'll see everyone else on the September 11th at 2 o'clock Eastern Time. It's 11 o'clock Pacific Time. And thank you, Sarah. And
thank
everyone,
you.
I hope you all have a good day now.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, bye. Thank you. Have a good day.